Hello there, and thanks for joining me on the podcast today. Distressed marriages. That's my question. That's my topic for the day. You know, there are marriages that are distressed right from the very beginning. In fact, they probably shouldn't have even gotten married. The distress symbols and signs were there way before marriage. That's true for many. Others, the distressed symbols and signs and indicators of a difficult relationship that's stressed and distressed occurs within the first year. Sometimes it occurs within the first 5 years. And there are occasions when a marriage becomes distressed later on in life, after they've been married for 10, 20, 30, 40 years or whatever it might be. In other words, a marriage is vulnerable. It's vulnerable to many different influences. And when that happens, the relationship becomes distressed. And actually, there are very few marriages that are not distressed at all, ever. So to some degree, every marriage goes through a period of time when there's a distress event or a distressed occasion or period of time until it's worked out, and then they move on and they move forward in making some resolution. Okay, so there we are. Distressed marriages. Let me identify them a little bit. Kind of what is a distressed marriage, or how does a marriage become distressed in the course of time? Well, when a marriage relationship and the couple together start talking more negatively to each other than positively, you know they're in distress. If one speaks more negatively and the other trying to be more positive, we know that marriage is in distress, but we know the person that is experiencing it is distressed more than the other. So negative talk, put-downs, criticisms, argumentation becomes part of the symbol or the sign that that marriage is experiencing distress marks. And it better be addressed real soon so that that distress factor can be neutralized and then turned over into become more positive in the relationship together. So there you are. That's number one. Number two is this: displeasing behavior. You know, everybody acts in a manner that has a certain degree of displeasure for somebody else. But in a marriage, the displeasing behavior should, in fact, diminish and eliminate over time. But if, on the other hand, it becomes something new, or develops more, or becomes more pronounced or more profound, much more displeasure behavior, then we know that there is a distress factor operating within that relationship. Obviously, marriages should be affectional. They should be verbal. They should be social. They should be happy. They should be free of stress marks and unhappiness and behavior that is annoying and pet peeve kind of behavior. Displeasing behavior can be anything that really upsets the other person. It can be a particular sound that one makes. It could be a mannerism. It could be an expression on face. It could be a word that is said. It could be how one expresses himself. Many different displeasing kind of behaviors. And what you need to do in that marriage is identify what are the displeasing behaviors, write them on paper, put them on the refrigerator, and start eliminating them from your repertoire of behavior together. Here's another one. When one person cannot express feelings, particularly positive feelings, and the other person expresses feelings, both positively and negatively. In other words, a person that holds feelings in creates a distress on the marriage. The person that overreacts in emotional expression puts a distress mark on the marriage. But every marriage needs to operate and to have within it the expression of emotion, the expression of feeling, so that we know where each other is in a particular topic or a particular point in time in life. Let your feelings be known. When you're upset, just let them be known so they can be dealt with, they can be resolved, they can be handled, rather than they turn into anger. Here's another one. Little direct, honest communication. You know, if you have to kind of guess what the other person is saying, if you have to determine whether the person is being honest or not, if you have to determine whether that person is really being sincere or not, you're in a distressed marriage. Shouldn't be that way. It should be very obvious. Feelings of dishonesty and words of dishonesty and thoughts of dishonesty should be eliminated. There should be direct communication. There should be open communication. No hidden messages. No double messages, if you will. Expression should be straightforward and understandable and interactive so that discussion can move forward and decisions can be made and life can move on. We need honest communication. No fear of penalty. No fear of revenge of any kind. Communication be direct. Directly to the person regarding the issue what you're talking about. No hidden messages. No double messages. No unclear messages. Talk openly and clearly so there's an understanding. When that's not the case, that marriage is in distress. How about eye contact? Distressed marriages, people avoid each other. They don't look in the eye of each other. They look around each other. They look over each other. Marriages that are not distressed, that are functional, doing well, there's eye contact. There's face-to-face contact. There's smiles, interactive together. Distressed marriages, we shift our focus away from the person, and we don't look in the eye, and we don't smile, we don't look face-to-face. Here's another one. What about balanced talk time? Distressed marriages are usually depicted by one person doing all the talking and the other person doing a little talking. Now, that could be how you grew up. Maybe you came from a talking family. Maybe you came from a non-talking family. But that's a distressed marriage if you carry that kind of theme or that kind of pattern of behavior of communication where one talks and the other one doesn't. One talks a lot and the other one talks very, very little. Open marriages, marriages that are effective and functional and doing well, there is balanced communication. One talks, one listens, one talks, one listens, one talks, one listens. And there's this interactive pattern where there's a balance of talking and a balance of listening together to each other. What about touch? What about touch? Distressed marriages are touchless. Marriages that are functional, that are doing well, there's a lot of touch. Pat on the back, hugs, hand-holding, patting on the cheek, hugging, sitting next to each other, touching each other. When you walk, there's a touching with each other. There's a closeness. That's positive marriages. Distressed marriages, there's a distance. No touching, very little touching, to no touching at all. Walking down the street and keeping a distance. You know, when you look at the family photo sometime, you look at a photo between a couple, what I always look for is the distance. I measure the space between people. And when there's a gap between one person and another person, that's social distancing. That's an indication that there's distress in that relationship somewhere for some reason. People who are not in distress, people who are functional and doing well, come together. They hug, they touch, they smother each other, so to speak. They bond together physically and emotionally and so on. So the idea of touch is a very important thing. When there's no touching, when there's a distancing, when there's a separation, that tells you that that marriage is under distress and something needs to be done about it. Somebody needs to call it. Somebody needs to identify it. So there you are. Those are some of the factors. There are other ones as well. But those are some of the key factors in identifying a marriage that is in distress as compared to one that's functional and doing well. But not just marriages. It could be any relationship that you're in. These are some of the factors that influence people to kind of bond together, come together, like each other, support each other, encourage each other, and form a oneness as compared to the behaviors which separate and destroy and pull apart a relationship and people from one another. So look at it in terms of your own relationship. Study your relationship. Study how you interact. Study how you behave towards each other. Look at your kids and how they interact with each other. Look at marriage, husband and wife, mother and father, how they interact with each other. Look how kids and parents interact with each other. Using these issues of a distressed relationship versus a non-distressed relationship. Not just marriages, it could be any relationship. And obviously, we want our relationships to be non-distressed. We want them to be functional. We want them to be happy. We want them to be a bonding kind of relationship, a together kind of relationship, a mutual, you know, relationship. That's what we want in our relationships. And minimize the signs of distress. So there are. Thanks for joining with me. And it's a good topic. Look at your relationship. Look at the relationships that you're in. All of them. From this particular perspective. Are you experiencing distress? Are you creating distress? That's the question. Bye for now.